Advices Radio Network.
Advices Radio is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The opinions of the host are not meant to be taken as medical advice. If you have a health concern, see a doctor immediately.
When it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him advice.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Advices Radio, episode number 52. I'm your host, Scott McNally. This is our Thanksgiving Day special, and we have an interview with bodybuilding coach Dave Kalig. A lot of times we talk about the things we are grateful for on Thanksgiving, and I wanted to say that one of the things I'm grateful for is the listeners, you guys. This podcast wouldn't be what it is if it wasn't for our listenership. So thank you. Thanks for subscribing on iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for, you know, paying attention to what we're doing in our social media. It all really means a lot to me. And listen, if you guys have any ideas for upcoming episodes, reach out to me. Tell me who you'd like to hear from, what topics you'd like to discuss, and, we'll take it from there. So Dave Kalig, our guest today, he is a top bodybuilding coach, and he's one of my favorite coaches in the industry. He does a great job. He works with a lot of really amazing clients and gets them to where they need to be their best ever on stage. It's pretty cool to have this opportunity to sit down and talk with him. I'm sure you guys will enjoy getting this little window inside of his head. You know, a lot of what coaches do, there's science, but there's also intuition. And some of this stuff, I think it can be kind of hard to talk about because it's abstract, really. And I think Dave does an incredible job at articulating himself and his ideas. If you're interested in reaching out to Dave and hiring him as a coach, you can email him, DaveKalig@yahoo.com, or reach out to him on Instagram and Facebook. Both of those things will be tagged in our social media posts. All right, guys, happy Thanksgiving, and let's get to Dave Kalig. Welcome to Advices Radio. This is episode number 52. I'm your host, Scott McNally, and back on the mic today, one of my favorite coaches, Dave Kalig. What is up, Dave? How you been, man?
What's up, Scott? Thanks for having me on again, and very good seeing you a couple weeks ago in Venice.
Yeah, dude, it was great to see you too. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to come out and hang. That was it was a lot of fun, man. And, you know, I feel like I see you all the time with social media. I always see the stuff you're posting of, you know, your clients and the things that you're doing. So I always kind of know like what's going on in Dave's life, but then to actually see each other in person, it's not very often. So that I appreciate it, man. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I guess the last time we nerded out, so to speak, was at the, Arnold, right? At the pre-judging.
Yes.
You guys were all there. That was the last time I saw you.
And that, you know, the Arnold is so crazy. It's like you see so many people, but it's all such a blur. You know, it was It was nice to be able to like actually sit down with like a more chill environment.
No, the Arnold was definitely a blur. So it was good to just, you know, sit back there a little bit at Gold's and just, chop it up. Question for you is what kind of any good foods now since the shows are over? I hope you're eating some crazy shit at least.
Well, listen, I don't, you know, thing is that it would be easy for me to just like go off the rails totally. I mean, I was baking muffins this last week and doing all sorts of crazy stuff I would never do normally, you know? And eating all sorts of, like, I have like five different kinds of pancakes in my cupboard right now. I gotta be careful, man. Cause I mean, I feel like this is a point where I could really make use of this rebound. I could also just kill my insulin sensitivity really quick.
Like there's definitely a window period of opportunity after a show where you quote unquote catch the rebound, so to speak. But a lot of times people are so excessive. Some people, there's always like, you know, gaining 20 pounds really quick, but you know, it's like that extra 10 pounds and just again, you know, like talk about destroying insulin sensitivity. It's like, you know, there's a window period where you can really, you know, obviously, you know, you're spiking, your insulin spiking, but then what happens over and over and over and over again,
right?
You know, you have your pancreas, you know, you have you know, these pancreatic stuff going on, and you just lose the sensitivity. You know, there's you know, you can only raise glucagon so often to lower insulin, right?
Right.
And then there's that loss of sensitivity. A lot of people, they take what could have been a really good opportunity to get a good, just a good rebound where you put on, you know, turn it into just a fucking loss of insulin sensitivity food porn situation, you know?
And it's counterproductive.
And then it is easy. It is, of course. Well, first of all, it depends. I mean, first of all, there's some people who, you get, if you're really, really peeled and in shape, I mean, you're in a deficit.
Right.
And, you know, initially you're just, you go into a surplus. But then when you keep just, spilling over, you're at the gas tank and you keep tapping out,
Right.
It's going to happen. Your pancreas is going to say, fuck it.
Yeah.
And you lose that sensitivity.
So I'm trying to ride that, and just keep it controlled. My thought is, try to keep the carbs under control, except for around my workout. I'll go a little bit higher now. Last week, I kind of went off the rails a little bit for a couple of days. So, and I realized too, it's like, right now, I'm doing really good. I'm 12 pounds up from my stage weight. So, it's not too far. It's not too crazy.
That's good. It's not like you're walking around all cankled out and shit, right? Where you're like,
well, I've been there.
So you're trying to tie your sneakers and you have trouble breathing, and all that shit.
I think we've all done that once or twice, right?
Of course. No, of course. Of course. Of course. Where it's just, and then you eating and eating, it's like you just, it's not even like you feel like you need to eat more, but it's just like the brain,
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's like there's a certain point where you're like, I don't even enjoy this. I'm just doing it because I can,
Exactly. Yeah. That's usually the case. But after a while, I think, and then some people, they talk about they're having food porn fantasies like last couple of weeks, whatever.
Right.
But then when it comes down to it, a lot of the guys, it's like right afterwards, it's just more like, well, first of all, get on a stage, you're not ready to like just destroy, crazy food. A lot of times, and if you're right and you're dry, first of all, it's just like fluids. And some people crave like fruit.
That's what I like.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I want to eat like an apple or an orange or something when I get off stage. I'm thirsty more than hungry.
Right. So like, I know people like when they want to go, they want to get a smoothie, like a fruit smoothie, instead of, then after a while, things calm down, whatever, then it's like, okay, Italian food. sushi stuff, all that stuff. And of course, you got to take it, enjoy it.
Yeah. So, I'll tell you, training at Gold's, I got to do my last few depletion workouts there. There is so much going on there at Gold's Venice at any given hour of any given day. I don't know how you can focus on your workout. There's like, I walk in there and like the first thing I see is like just some guy walking around with like this huge backpack and a skateboard. And I'm like, well, what is this? What is this?
Yeah.
And then I turn around the other way and there's like, Hollywood Jerome Ferguson. And, and I look again and there's some hot chick who's shooting a video of herself. I'm like, wow, there's so much happening here at any given moment. It's like a circus.
Oh, yeah. You'll see that. Yeah, it is. You'll see the regulars. You'll see the tourists that come off the boardwalk just to come in to go to the Mecca, to see it for the first time.
Yeah.
There'll be the Japanese tourists, but instead now with the cameras, it's just all the cell phone. I mean, everything, of course. You see people, they go in and, it's cool. It's definitely, there are different type of Meccas around the country now. There's Dylan Ambrose and his Mile High. I mean, that's huge over there with, there's, Steve's gym and, so there's definitely a couple of, Meccas, if you want to call it, it used to be really just all Venice. So, but there's still like the whole aspect of just, it's like a circus, all different types of people in there.
It really is. And they all kind of seem to have, like you were saying, they're there for their own different reasons, and I do see some people that are there that are serious and some guys that have got their heads down. I really liked your buddy, Kurt. What's Kurt's last name? What's his name?
Or Chikek. Yeah, he's Kirk's actually he's a really good martial artist, by the way. He's actually made it to the Martial Arts Hall of Fame. He's actually, for a big guy, he's a crazy martial arts. Yeah, so he's really cool. We actually go to a lot of metal shows together.
Okay. Yeah, he mentioned that to me. I got to meet him before I saw you there.
He's my metal buddy. We go to keeps me from going crazy in the mosh pit sometimes at shows,
Yeah,
calms me down a little bit.
So he's there. He's there every day, personal training people. And it sounds like he's doing pretty well with that. And he kind of knew the, I could tell he knew the ins and outs. He's probably seen everything. I'm sure you've seen everything there too. I feel like I've seen everything there, and I've only been there, you know, a handful of times.
Yeah, there's been, I mean, there's been some crazy, it's really, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, there's just some obscure people who come in, you would never think they'd roll through there. Interesting. One new client I have, who's Charles Glass is training him, is actually Calvin Klein.
Okay.
You know, Calvin Klein jeans.
Really?
And yeah.
I thought that like that had to be a coincidence. It wasn't the actual Calvin Klein. Wow. No
it's
kidding.
Calvin Klein. Yep. And Charles started training him. He's by Colso. He lives out in New York, and he comes in and he has a place here, but he's going to be here for a while. He's in New York right now, you know, for Thanksgiving holidays, but, yeah, so he teamed up with me and Charles. Wow. Charles is training him, and he wants to put some weight on.
No kidding.
He's an older guy. Like, you know, he's a thin guy, and he actually just wants to be a little healthier and put some weight on. So it's pretty cool.
No kidding, man. So in a situation like this, you know, you're obviously not, you know, hammering. You're not going to treat him the same way you're going to treat Dorian Haywood as far as nutrition goes. It's a totally different thing. Okay.
Like for him, for example, it's just, you know, slow progressive calories. He was never like a big eater, you know what I mean? So it's not like walloping him down with a bunch of calories, you know, like it's good quality progressive foods for him. But yeah, it's not as comprehensive as, you know, someone's, you know, a top competitor's off season or it's just good basic nutrition that he's never really had. And again, trying to put size on him, you know, we'd be progressive with calories. So he's not like, you know, just way down with just millions of calories initially, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So he's just getting into weight training. He's done it on and off for years, but now he's actually like, you know, I mean, Charles is training him again, like, you know, not the way he would train Dorian, but
yeah,
you know, he's putting him through, you know, does chest one day, back another day, you know, this basic, you know, good old fashioned weight training. So it should be kind of cool to see what happens. Put some 20 pounds on him.
Nice. Kind of cool. Yeah. So I hear that Sergio Jr. is training out there with Tom Platts. Have you seen them up there on a regular basis?
Yeah, I have. And Tom is known him for obviously years. It's pretty cool. You know, it's Tom's having a blast doing, I guess, you know, because he literally competed with his dad, you know,
in the
80s. So for him, it's like, you know, he's just on cloud nine. And I think it's a good team. Obviously, they're focusing on just like destroying legs, you know, which, you can imagine, that's happening. You know,
who better to do that with, right?
Who better, right? I mean, still to his day, man, those fucking legs were just retarded.
Now, I saw him in there, and I didn't get a chance. I didn't see his legs because he was wearing sweats at the time, and he still has those.
It's funny because, like, you know, not unlike we're talking about leftover muscle,
right?
He still has a lot of tissue in those legs. It's funny.
No kidding. You know, I mean, I wondered. Oh, yeah. And for the audience, I want to tell you guys, I'm sitting here at the tables with Dave Kalik, and we're sitting here in Gold's Gym. He's got these hulking forearms, you know, just sticking out of his t-shirt. And I comment, you know, on how big your forearms look. And guys, Dave says, this is just my leftover muscle. You're down a lot of weight from when you were at your peak, but you still look gigantic as far as I'm concerned, man. And for leftover muscle, you're bigger than I am at my best.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, it's just, you know, getting there a couple times a week and seems to kind of maintain what I do. Again, I was telling you before, I mean, I've just been doing like, you know, TRT now for like the last like 4.5 years.
Okay.
And I feel great.
Do you feel like that's enough to be able to grow onto if you were to so decide? No.
I mean, it's enough for me to just feel decent, you know, just to have, you know, rather, you know, just to have some degree of testosterone that's in normal range feels good as an adult, you know, as an older guy. You know,
absolutely.
I'm not, you know, 48, but I'm just saying, I mean, if I wanted to, I mean, yeah, sure. If I like, I would easily blow back up. I mean, God forbid if I did like, you know, 1,000 milligrams a week of tests and I put EQ in there and I put, you know, some Dynabol or something. I mean, yeah, I would, you know, obviously I would blow back really quickly, but no, I feel great. I mean, as far as like, if I train more often and I kind of position more foods pre and post workout in those winter periods, then, you know, like all of a sudden I'll see myself come up a couple of pounds, you know, but that'll be the extent of it on the TRT.
Okay. And that's kind of what you said you're doing now, right? You're kind of ramping your calories back up and you are kind of.
I mean, a little bit. I kind of like for during the season with everybody hitting the shows, I wasn't training as often. I wasn't eating as much.
I bet.
I actually, like when I go to the shows, I barely eat until the shows are over. Like I have no appetite when we're getting someone ready the night before, you know, waking. I don't have any appetite. I'm like, you know, bundle of nerves until after the show. So I'm always, it's funny. I always lose weight. Like when I go away to the show, to someone's show, and then I come back and I'll try to like, you know, eat more for a couple of days, you know, but I guess recently I kind of saw my weight. I'm like, you know what, let me just eat a little bit more. So
right on.
It's kind of like, yeah, why not? So it's like, wow, big deal. If I just, you know, if I just, again, position foods purposely like post-workout, I'll immediately come up a couple pounds, you know, but that'll be it.
It's funny you say that about, you know, losing weight while you're helping people. I found last year I was the exact same way. The further we got into the contest season, the more nerves I felt where I just wanted to focus on getting somebody else to look their best. It really took away from my ability to focus on me. There's no question.
It's funny, you know, and I try to eat like the morning of the show, for example, Adam and North Americans, Adam Young.
Yeah.
You know, the prejudging is 9 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, we're getting ready the night before or whatever. So it's so funny because like, I knew it was going to happen. I mean, I woke up, we saw, he looked in the morning. I was like, fuck yeah, he looked crazy. So yeah. I was excited. So like I tried, there's the buffet over there in the hotel in Pittsburgh, you know, downstairs in the lobby area, and the shows, the venue's there in the host hotel. And it's funny, I ordered like an omelet and I'm like, man, I fucking took like two bites of it. I'm like, what a it's like, I'm not eating this thing. It's just, yeah, I don't know. It's just how it is. I just lose my appetite.
Yeah.
Pulled over.
I can totally understand. And, you know, you mentioned Adam Young. One of the reasons I wanted to bring Dave on today, guys, I wanted to talk to him about his clients. I felt like we could get some really good insight for ourselves by looking at Dave and the people that he's working at this high end. Now, a lot of the listeners out there, we might not be Adam Young's or Stan McQuay's or Dorian Haywood's, but I think we can still learn by seeing, you know, how you problem solve situations, how you get these guys to peak, and, you know, the different little idiosyncrasies that work for them that you've discovered. I think we can all learn from that. Plus, I think, you know, just being bodybuilding nerds, it's fun for me to talk about and hear how somebody else's mind, how someone like yourself, how your mind works and how you figure things out. So I think that, you know, Adam's a great place to start. You know, he turned pro this past year with your help. And what are you guys doing now? What's the next goal and where are you at with him?
So basically, like, Adam is going to be 212. I mean, he literally weighed 212, you know, when his feet hit the stage. And okay. So this is not like he's in off season now. He was just in Venice a couple of days ago. He came over for the weekend. He came down with Dylan. And, he's really like, this is not a big get as heavy as you can off, you know, off season, blowing up inflammation, trouble breathing, you know, nothing like that. Like he's actually about 12 pounds heavier than stage weight. He still has, it's pretty crazy. He still has some pretty prominent glute striations still.
Really?
Yeah. And this is going to be, he's going to do his 212 pro debut at the New York Pro. I don't really see, I look at everything as like, it's just all one big prep.
Okay.
Because, you know, I don't really believe in like, okay, it's bulking and now, okay, now it's cutting, you know, it just, to me, it's, there's a show, you know, it's going to be the second week in May. So that's what we're getting ready for. So right now it's, you know, there's obviously calories came up after the show. There was a good rebound that happened. But again, I mean, it was the heaviest he got was like 17 pounds up and then we just took it down. I mean, you know, we're doing rotational foods right now. He's doing well. He's just getting denser and more quality. And that's really, and then, you know, we come down to that weight again with the objective goal to be, he has more density, more volume, a couple body parts coming up. So this is really not a dramatic thing we're trying to do here.
Tell me what you mean by rotational foods. And that also played a role in how you peaked him, didn't it?
Yeah, like to me, you know, as you guys might know, I look at foods as being different, as different tools. I'm really not a meat or macro at all. Like,
yeah.
To me, a gram of protein is not a gram of protein. I mean, sure, it'd be easy to have 500 grams, 400 grams of protein from just whey isolate and egg whites, right? But you would look like mush. Mm. You know what I mean? So I really look at foods like, you know, chicken, fish, beef, poultry, there's all different digestive rates, different assimilation rates with these proteins, different amino acid profiles.
Yeah.
And so I look at these different foods as different tools. I think fish behaves differently, assimilation wise. It's a different, you know, I mean, to me, a gram of protein is not a gram of protein. So when I talk about rotational food patterns, I like to, well, you know, I'm big on combining proteins. Yeah. I'm into rotating foods because I think the body is very adaptive, you know. I'm into, you know, encouraging to keeping sensitivity. If there's carbs involved in someone's diet, you know, it's sometimes even in the off season, there'll be a couple days of keto to reset, you know. Some, you know, so there's a lot of different food, a lot of things we're doing with foods. When I say rotational and stuff like that, I mean, shit, we, every 10 or 12 days, we rotate his foods.
Okay.
Some segments, depending on what I'm seeing, he'll have a higher carb structure. Maybe fats will be a little bit lower. You know, but we go up and down. We move things around quite a bit.
You know, when you talk about that, when you talk about, like, the different protein sources and the different look that you get from them, I'm right there with you. And it's something I hadn't understood until, you know, way back at the start of Advices Radio, you did an episode of PED After Hours with Taylor, and you broke that down real thoroughly. If anybody wants to go back and check that out, it was a great episode. But you were saying, so fish has, it's going to be good for getting leaner because it's a super high calorie protein or super low calorie, high protein food. Whereas chicken you felt was more like the, what'd you call it? More like a middle of the road type protein.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, like, for example, I mean, okay, well, as far as like losing, I mean, basically if you're in a caloric, in a caloric deficit and there's cardio and there's fat, you know, you're going to lose fat. But I mean, just, I mean, as far as like the way the proteins, I mean, it's not like, okay. So to me, fish is great for like activating metabolism. It just seems like the way it breaks down, it just seems to like make the conveyor belt move faster, so to speak.
Do you have a particular type of fish that you like your guys to use?
I mean, tilapia is not like, you can get this, you know, from halibut, from other whitefish, from swai. There's different foods that can, there's different fish that can easily take the place of tilapia. So
okay.
It just has to be tilapia, you know, but, and it's not all fish. I mean, obviously we use a lot of different, you know, we use poultry, we use, I'm big on grass-fed beef and, you know, salmon. And, but, I mean, as far as, like, whitefish, just seems to me like for example, Dorian, I mean, the staple of his prep is whitefish.
Is it really? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we have salmon involved. Even in the off-season, we have whitefish going. It just, we pair it. Sometimes I'll be pairing the whitefish, let's say, with, you know, grass-fed beef, or I'll pair the whitefish with chicken. I mean, again, we rotate things around, but, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, the expression, you are what you eat.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, look at fish, like whitefish, it's all striated and everything. I mean, I literally believe that you are, I mean, and chicken's more like, when I say mid-range, it's kind of like, I mean, it's a little fattier. I mean, I don't think it doesn't break down quite the same. Speaking of chicken, it's funny because I see people after a while, like, I think you could almost, with poultry, I swear after a while, and I've seen it with guys and girls too, is that sometimes like the body just says, fuck it. Like the poultry is just like, where after a while, like week after week after week, where they start like gagging on chicken.
Hmm.
And it's like, your body's telling you something. If you're rejecting it,
yeah.
I think it's for a reason. So it's not like, you got to pay attention to this kind of stuff. I mean, of course you can get burned down on fish and all that stuff, but you got to listen to what your body's telling you as far as like, you know what I mean? Like especially with poultry, I just see,
I've chicken. Felt that before. And, you know, yeah. I couldn't eat chicken for a long time. When I started back up, I started using just like the really high quality stuff. Like the chicken I'm eating now is organic, hormone free, you know, free range chicken. It's a world of difference, man. I mean, it really is. I digest it really well. I never dislike it. You know, I could tell you, man, it makes a difference going that route with it. It's a lot more expensive, but to me, it's worth it.
There's no doubt when you get the quality, it's different. I mean, like, I don't think, for example, it'll take a lot longer to burn out on, you know, the chicken you were just talking about, compared to just the regular chicken that you, you know, bust open and cook.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, so anyway, we pay attention to all that. Of course we use poultry, but I'm just kind of careful with it.
So when you said that, you know, his physique responds really well to fish, What are you seeing when you say that? What's happening in his body? You know, as his coach, you're looking at him. A lot of people who listen might not even know what a coach is looking for in someone's physique. So what are you seeing?
What I'm looking for is, like, for example, like, we're, if you want to call it off season, we're getting ready for, you know, May, although we're going to do a invite for the Arnold to see if we, for obvious reasons, see if we can get in, but, you know, we're focusing on May. So, I mean, right now, you know, Dorian is, he's 267, 268, you know, again, about maybe just 23, 24 pounds heavier. And he would be on stage. What I'm looking for is, his calories are high now. You know, he has a lot of partition meals. Give an example. He'll have a meal of, let's say, you know, we'll do 5 ounces of grass-fed beef, let's say, with 5 ounces of salmon and maybe 9 ounces of red potato and, let's say, 3.5 ounces of avocado. That's, like, one of the meals we have going on right now, actually.
Okay.
You know, we have, you know, I have fish paired with grass-fed beef the meal before. I'm looking for the conveyor belt to be moving. So I don't want someone to be weighed down. Like, I mean, I want them to be satisfied after they eat, but you should be ready to eat the next meal.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you shouldn't be bloated and you know, inflamed and like, oh, fuck, I got to eat again. You should be, like, ready to mow through the next meal.
Hmm.
And then from there, so, like, I pay attention, you know. How are you feeling between meal 3 and 4? Like, are you bloated after meal 2? And we adjust accordingly.
Okay.
I like to the point where we're now in, if you want to call it the pre-contest phase, even though I said, well, I look at it, it's all just one prep. But as we're transitioning into pre-contest or we're getting closer, I want it to be where, like, he eats and, like, 10 minutes later, he's fucking starving. Like, he feels like he hasn't even eaten anything. You know,
yeah.
That to me is efficiency,
Hell
you
yeah.
know? And with that, then you, then the sky's the limit, because then you're in the driver's seat, because then you can be progressive with calories. I mean, the best scenario is if someone is coming down, they're getting leaner. The best scenario is if you could be progressive with their calories as they're getting leaner.
That makes sense.
You know, I mean, the best thing is for me, I'm on cloud nine. If someone's caloric structure could be several hundred calories higher by the time you get to the week of the show than it was 6 weeks out,
Hell
you know,
yeah.
And it's funny because you'll see people a lot of times with the right situation as calories are coming up, they're actually losing more weight because metabolically there's just that acceleration. You know, you're having to adapt and adjust to more calories. So if you get the conveyor belt, I know I say that a lot, but if you get the conveyor belt moving a lot, there's so much flexibility you have with foods.
I like that. And you know what, too, that speaks to, you know, to you and your coaching, because I think that intuitively people are going to think that, well, we get closer to the show, the calories have to come down. You need to reduce in order to lose more fat. But from what you're saying, that's not necessarily going to be the case.
I mean, there's a lot of variables. Look, there's a lot of variables. There's, you know, how someone's estradiol, like there's a lot of components as to why maybe someone might be stagnating or not progressing. But, you know, keep in mind, the body is very adaptive storage mechanism, defense, you know, and if you're in too much of a deficit, that last stubborn stuff can store and just be, and then just, if you're trying to lower calories and increase cardio and increase T3, then you're fucked. You're in a clusterfuck.
Yeah.
So there's different clusterfucks you could be in. You could be in a hormonal one, which we can go in, we can talk about that, you know, estradiol and over-abusive compounds and stuff, and you're having a hard time getting rid of all the visceral fat because your estradiol level's so fucking high because, you know, you're not blocking, you know, you're estrogenic to begin with, and you're taking anti-estrogens, but you're still having, you know, a spillover of estradiol that's kicking your ass, and things are, I mean, there's all different types of clusterfucks, but I mean, to me, metabolically, you know, you want to keep the mechanism moving. That's the whole thing. So I, you know, we rotate foods quite a bit. And again, the best case scenario, when I'm at my happiest, is when someone's coming down and let's say they're just throwing out, you know, we're using 8 ounces of protein per meal, you know, they're coming down. God forbid we come up to 9 ounces. And by the end, you know, like where the calories are like on paper, significantly higher than it was 4 weeks prior.
Yeah.
And then you're eating into the contest. There's nothing better.
That's cool. So tell me about how the food rotations you guys used played a role in his peak. You said that you guys didn't really have to do much.
For Adam?
Oh, that was for Adam. Okay.
Well, I mean, for everybody, I try to really have these guys ready. Like, where the last week, it's something I want to talk about a lot is the peak week.
Yeah.
you know, there's so much voodoo stuff that goes on the last week. And, you know, you see guys, people ready, how they look, let's say 10 days out and a week out. And then all of a sudden last week, and by the time people go on stage, it's completely different. It's ruined. I mean, you know, it's not engraved in stone. First of all, I like being ready several weeks out so that you could just do mild manipulations. And the last week is really about, believe it or not, catching up on rest and, and just getting ready for the show and just getting grounded.
Sure.
I mean, you see people the last week, and it's funny, like people, they just get progressively less and less sleep as the show gets closer. All up on social media like late last night, and they're, you know, it's peak week, and there's got to be this, they think it's like you have to do this drastic depletion and carving up and, like, you know, what I mean, it shouldn't be like that, because you're really rolling the dice.
Yeah.
So
not to mention, people out there, not to mention you're looking more tired the more you're putting into this and the more, you know, you're stressing your body, right?
Yeah. So, for example, I mean, getting back to Adam, and I mean, we do this with everybody, try to get on stage here, is with Adam. So he was basically like, we had, for example, like the way his foods were going is we had two depletion days a week, which were basically like gluconeogenic days, which were just high protein and basically vegetables. We had 2 days that had carbs that had, you know, moderate fat. You know, we had 2 days of carbs, 2 days of foods that were higher in carbs. We had some insulin pattern on those days. And basically every morning, he started, you know, starting 3-4 weeks out, he started waking up looking the same every morning. It didn't matter if it was the day after a loading day or the day after a keto day. Because we had two keto days, we had two gluconeogenic days, and we had one low carb day, and we had two high carb days. Okay. So basically every morning, after a while, he was weighing the same and looking exactly the same every morning. So the last week, basically, we just rolled in. We just created what we were doing each week. And we had a little bit of a heavier day 2 days out.
Okay.
The day before was actually one of his depletion days, because that look where his best look seems to be, it's 2 days after a high day where there's a depletion day following the high day.
Okay.
And he just like re-crisps. And basically, I mean, so there's no real loading for the show. Fats were a little bit higher. I mean, when I say depletion day, the first half of the day, for example, for North Americans was basically gluconeogenic. And then we started layering fats as the days went on, as the hours went on the day before. And I actually cut off his foods about 10 o'clock at night. The prejudging was 9 in the morning in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So I just had him basically, I mean, he had nothing going into the venue that morning. We ate nothing.
Wow.
And basically it was just, the look was amazing. The whole idea of just, you know, chasing food and people like eating up to the very last minute going on stage, and you're processing food while you're on stage. It's just, a lot of times it's just a mess.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I could see that. It blows me away that you could kind of predict this, really. I'm going to say it. I think that's probably the best word to use, because I mean, so many of us are programmed to think, you know, well, it's a peak week. We need to load carbs this certain way. We need to, you know, manipulate water this certain way, versus you're just kind of looking at things as how they're moving. And then kind of, you know, what's going to happen next because you've seen it.
Right. Basically the idea is, if you can look, there's the day of the show, there's cortisol levels, there's nerve. I mean,
yeah.
If you can capture 85% of your best look and go up there, to me, you've hit it. To me, that's hitting it. So if someone's ready weeks out, I mean, you know about me, I'm really into conditioning. You know, to me, conditioning is when someone's striated to their anus and their glutes, like literally like all the way across. You know what I mean? Like that's conditioning. I mean,
yeah,
you're ready. I mean, so basically just capture that look. This voodoo stuff, you're rolling the dice. Yes, sure. Like if you, you know, there's, I mean, if everyone's different. Some people do need some degree, even in the last week, where there has to be manipulations that go on, of course.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And I mean, there's been use of diuretics. There's been no use of diuretics. Sometimes the diuretic is counterproductive. I mean, I always look at it like sometimes the conditioning should be such an extreme level where the diuretic can almost be counterproductive in some individuals.
I could see that. I've seen it in my own physique in the past, and I found that sometimes using a diuretic would, or with clients of mine, that it just kind of washes your look out. You can't get as full, as crisp looking. I found for this last show, I needed it. It was something that by using it just pushed me that got that little bit of extra water out, just a small amount, you know, and pushed me where I needed to be. So like you keep saying, it really is a, not only a person by person, but a situation by situation basis, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, the thing is, we've all seen all the different scenarios. You know, we've seen the people like, you know, 1,000 grams of carbs for 2 days in a row, and the person actually losing weight and getting, you know, like flatter and washed out, you know, with the diuretics. And then of course, then there's the, someone's so dehydrated and then they're loading with carbs. You're not, and it's just sitting in their stomach and you can see it in their gut and the gut's extended. You know what I mean? There's undigested food because of, you know, the depletion and all the nerves and everything. But fuck, that person that just went on the way they looked 9 calendar days out, completely different situation. And it's like, you know, then like the people, a lot of people like, well, they see themselves, then they go eat, and they go gorge eating the day after the show. And then they see themselves in the gym the next day, still some protein on, they're all jacked up. They're like, fuck, man, how can they go on stage like this?
Yeah.
I mean, they think they look better. You know, there's more veins on the arm, but it's like, you know, it's blurry. Like people, you know what I mean?
Yeah. What's your torso look like at the time, right?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And just, you know, like, so they see all blown up and like, you know, of course their friends were like, you know, wow, man, you should have gone there like that. And then there's the social media posts like, how come I didn't go on looking like, you know, like this? And there's too much stuff, drastic stuff going on last week. I'm just giving advice to people that just be ready weeks out. So you can just do minor tweaks. And again, you know, so things are pretty, you want things to be predictable. You don't want to like have a blindfold on and just roll the dice.
Yeah. So with Adam Young, then you walked him in without having really done really too much at all, man. And you said he went in with an empty stomach basically too.
Yeah. The pre-judging started at 9 o'clock in the morning. So we purposely, I mean, the last 6 weeks was geared towards getting him ready for a 9 a.m. pre-judging.
Okay.
Like at that time. So I wanted his body to peak then. I had him take pictures at exactly that time every morning. You know, I compare different looks. How does he look the day after a loading day? How does he look the day after a gluconeogenic day? How does he look the day after a keto day? And after a while, the body just homeostasis, you know, it was like identical every morning. Mm. And I saw that by rotating our foods, you know, like cycling, going up and down, you know, lower fats, higher fats, carb fluctuation. You know, we kept every week he was progressing.
Mm.
But he was getting a very consistent look in the morning.
Hmm.
So basically, I just wanted to capture, and again, every show is different, but I just wanted to capture that look for this particular show, the way he looks in the morning, just wake up, get that dry, crazy, crispy look in the morning, and it carried over. And, you know, he looked incredibly full because his body, after a while, you know, like, it's not engraved in stone. You need, you know, thousands of grams of carbs to be full.
Yeah.
You know, you and I, we've talked about this before. I mean, if some people are very, you know, they're actually very keto based in their prep and everything. So fullness, you know, is not always from carbs.
It sounds too like, you know, going back to, we're kind of bouncing around here a little bit, but going back to Dorian, that it sounds like he uses a lot of fats. You know, if you're giving him beef plus salmon plus avocado, and you know, he's looking better using that. It sounds like he responds well, huh?
Dorian's carbs, if you want to call it the off season right now, we don't breach 400 grams a day.
Really? And you said he's, how heavy did you say he is right now?
He's 268 and he's lean 268. I don't know if you saw posted a video like last week, doing some cable crossovers and stuff on Facebook.
But I'm looking at it right now, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, he's dense and he's crazy.
Splits in his pecs. Yeah, everything's looking sharp.
Yeah, he's not high carb.
Hmm.
He has a lot of caloric density in his foods.
Yeah.
But there's probably like 4 tablespoons of olive oil involved in his foods throughout the day. There's avocado twice. We're using salmon. We're using grass-fed beef. We're pairing whitefish with these foods. So, I mean, there's 8 whole omega eggs in his diet.
Mm.
We have omega egg beginning of the day, the end of the day. I mean, there's a lot of calories there. But again, well, you know, every gram of carb has 4, you know, proteins 4, fats are 9, you know, so again, you know, it's not engraved in stone that someone has to have, you know, 1200 grams of carbs in the off season. Everybody's different. I have some people that thrive on higher carb situations and they're lower fat. And don't get me wrong, everybody's different. But with Dorian, for example, it's really just, you know, he has partitioned foods, partitioned meals, with fats and proteins is actually being his staple. You know, he certainly has enough carbs for energy and for recovery, and for delivery. But, the basis of his foods is high fats, high proteins.
So, you know, that whole mechanism,
by doing it that way, he went from, two years ago when he was in North Americans, he finished 14th on heavyweights. He weighed 212 pounds, 213 pounds.
Really?
And what we did was basically we had this kind of eating, and then, you know, a year later he got his pro card weighing 240. And the way he grew was from these high dense fats, high dense, you know, proteins, and just moderate carbs. That's how he responded. We had some segments that were higher, really high carbs. It's just inflammation and just counterproductive. So that's how his body works. That's how his body clicks.
Nice. So tell me a little bit about Daniel Alexander. He was a middleweight, right?
Yeah. So he's the middleweight. He won USA, and it's pretty cool because 3 years ago he went, you know, fifth, and then 2 years ago he was second. He was third, and then this year he finally got it. And man, he's one of these guys, like, you know, the best guys at the USA Nationals. Like, for example, the middleweights are actually really light heavyweights, and the light heavyweights are actually heavyweights. You know, we've talked about this.
Sure.
And, you know, Daniel, I mean, man, it's every year the prep was more painful because he kept getting bigger. We wanted to keep him in middleweight. Keep in mind, when he's 186, I mean, his glutes are striated. Like, he's done, you know, so getting him from 186 to 176 is painful. For him, it was brutal this year. I mean, he was like, that was tough, you know, but it's kind of cool because he has illusion on stage of being so much bigger. I mean, he really looked like a light heavyweight up there. He's got that crazy vacuum. Legs are retarded. I think him and Adam are going to do great in this 212. But Daniel is, getting him to make weight was incredibly painful.
Oh God, I bet. If you said he was shredded, so you said that was at he was looking good at 286.
No, 186.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's what I meant. 186. So, so yeah, very different. So, from, you know, for the audience that isn't competitors, you know, to hit middleweight, that means that he had to get him down to 176. Which, I mean, if you're shredded, man, that's another 10 pounds. And on somebody who isn't huge to begin with, I mean, 10 pounds is a lot of weight. That's not like Jay Cutler losing 10 pounds, you know?
Right. It's like someone else losing 20. Exactly. It's like someone else losing 20. And, you know, we had to put the brakes on certain things. It's funny because his legs, you know how crazy his legs are.
Absolutely.
He's only like, if he trains legs more than once a month, I swear, like his weight, like it won't go down. Like,
no
he,
kidding.
He's a freak. So we had to, obviously, I mean, there were some days where he was eating, let's just put it this way, there's a lot of gluconeogenic days in those days leading up. I mean, it's just, you know, fish and vegetables, you know, it was just very, very scaled down, and that's how he made it.
So
and
you're we're thrilled. He relied a lot on basically protein only, protein, vegetables, no less fats, less carbs in order to make that happen, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we had different days, which were more keto, but, you know, we had different days, but a lot of those days were in fact just gluconeogenic, which is what I mean by that, obviously, is, you know, just proteins.
Yeah.
And, those are painful days. Yeah. Because at least, you know, keto, you get some degree of stabilization, you know, it takes a couple of days to actually feel better when you're on keto. And it depends how, you know, like true keto is not necessarily like some people think, like, just because you're eating fats and proteins doesn't mean you're keto.
Yeah.
Again, because the proteins are high enough, you're not going to go into gluconeogenesis. You're not going to go into keto. You're going to be gluconeogenic. Hmm. And often that's very painful because you're teetering back and forth between gluconeogenesis, you know, and being in keto. And I think that's the toughest, that's the part, that's the suffering right there, I think.
Yeah, I could totally agree with that.
You don't really have a true energy source, so you're really dragging ass.
Yeah.
So that's, so he went through a lot of pain. He came out the other day. It's funny, we're talking as we're just thrilled now that there's no, I mean, there's a weight limit of 212, but
right.
You know, there's no weight limit of 176.
Right.
And just from him, he doesn't need to be like top of the 212 class to do really well. He's like that Korean guy who's only like, you know, 190, who's always in the top five. For Daniel to just be 196, I mean, he would look like he would be 226. So we're on cloud nine with what you know, we can do with his shape and everything. Okay. I think another 20, you know, so I'm sure he'll be about 196, 197, because he was 186 looking crazy. You know what I mean? So the 10 pounds, he's having a really good off season. He's going to be competing in Phoenix. That'll be his debut.
Okay. That was going to be my next question. So the Phoenix show, how much longer do we have until that?
It's probably going to be right around the same week, right around the USA. So it'll be in July. Okay. Position in July.
So he's going to have about a year from one show to the next is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Adam is big, you know, I think Adam is going to really, he's going to be a force because he has just unusual density. And so they both very different looks for these guys. But yeah. I think they're both going to do really, really well. I think they both individualize, have their weaponry, which will be pretty good out there.
What are you guys specifically working on to bring up for Daniel?
Well, he needs like more brachialis. He just needs his like the outer head of his triceps. See a little more anterior delt. Still needs more rhomboid thickness, and his back has come up incredibly.
Okay,
but he's losing a lot of heavy compound movements right now, which is what I have everybody do.
Hmm.
And we're just trying to get like you know again more. He needs more erectors, more rhomboids.
But so that's
see a little more his medial delt's really good. We just need more anterior posterior delt. The long head of his tricep, I'm just kind of nipping, you know, what we need to come up. His chest has come up. It's funny, he came out the other day, I took a look at him, and his upper chest is really coming up. He's mechanically changed how he's doing pressing.
Okay.
So he's changing. I mean, he's a little bit of the tortoise in the hare, but he's actually been more of the hare recently as far as some gains he's been putting on. I'll actually even use the word the Z at the end of the gains here instead of S.
Wow. Well, that's some serious gains then.
Yeah, when you say gains with a Z, yeah, there's...
It implies a lot more, yeah.
Yep, and Adam, again, you know, he came in last weekend, and yeah, he's really gotten a lot more three-dimensional. And he gets peeled, so...
And also with him, you're using more compound lifts are the focus?
Yes, okay. Always. Always.
So when you're talking about, you know, you're saying like you want somebody to bring up a specific area, you're not just doing like these little isolation moves to make that particular spot try to grow.
No, to be honest with you, like I'll just cut to the chase. I mean, if you really need to like really bring up your upper chest significantly, I don't think that the incline hammer strength is going to, I think you're going to need to do incline barbell pressing, you know, call me old fashioned.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I'm believing in like, you know, pre-exhausting whatever, and then just, and getting these compounds in. I mean, don't get me wrong. The hammer strength is great, and we use it. You know, they're used, but just not in the place of people are way too much into using machines in place of compound movements, not adjacent to them, but in place of them. And it's not going to be the same. We've talked about this before. You see a lot of guys on stage. I mean, you know, they have like let's say with their legs, they'll have like some good teardrop development or whatever, but there won't be like that rectus. You know, just one dimensional looking legs or back. You know, you'll see like some detail and stuff like that, but you won't see like. There's just not enough heavy-ass rowing. There's not enough heavy-ass barbell rows, T-bar rows. There's not enough heavy incline barbell pressing. Some guys are doing it, but I just too much pumping, too much specialty exercises, you know, too much trying to reinvent the wheel with these exercises. I mean, I know it's just, I mean, I've seen it over the years. Don't get me wrong. There's some really cool, you know, new exercises and techniques and everything.
Yeah.
But just nothing will ever take the place of the bread and butter stuff. It's just not. I mean, and your physique will adapt to the way you train, and it'll look the way you train. there's people, sorry to go off, but there's people who avoid squatting at all costs.
No, I think this is important stuff for the audience.
Okay, well, I'm very passionate about this, like that. People have, they don't suffer enough during prep, and that, you know, like, and there's also just not training fucking hard enough. I mean, and it's the bread and butter stuff. I mean, guys, I mean, it's the painful stuff. I mean, with squatting, I mean, people will find any excuse. Oh, I'm not mechanically right. It bothers my knee, you know, bullshit.
Yeah.
There's a look to legs when, I mean, given the fact that, okay, there's nutrition, there's recovery, you know, gear protocol, everything's in place correctly. There's a basic rule of thumb, like someone who's squatting 315 compared to someone for reps with quality form, and compared to someone who's squatting 405 for reps quality, like the leg, okay, that looks like a leg that's squatting 405 for reps, okay?
Yeah.
This looks like a leg that's squatting 500 for reps. I mean, basically, I mean, there's got to be progressive overload with these exercises, and your body will look like that. Your muscles will adapt and look that way. You could see when someone's doing a lot of heavy rows and heavy deads and sumo deads and barbell rows, it has a look. You could also see if someone's focusing on cables and hammer strength too much for the back. It's just one dimensional. I mean, can't deny it. Can't deny it. I mean, it's, again, you know, I'm going off again. There's the people who are relying on that kind of training and just relying on just crazy amounts of stuff, you know, drugs, you know, and again, I've seen people on budget cycles over the years barely be able to afford anything and just get fucking huge and massive from pounding food and the weights.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you see the people who finish, you know, fifth out of fourth. I'm joking, you know.
Yeah.
Dead last in a novice division, and they're taking, you know, 3 grams a week of test and a gram and a half a week of trend, and I mean, just ridiculous. So again, you've heard me go off on that before, but I just think that within bodybuilding, there's basic principles that will never go away and shouldn't.
And I don't think that you can say it enough times, you know, whether you've repeated it or not, man, I think that it's a good take home message, and it's a good reminder for everybody, including myself, you know, because it is easier to go in there and not try as hard. And you know what, you got, you know, your back workout, and you're thinking to yourself, I've got 25 weeks until I need to start dieting. But that means you really don't, if you train back once a week, you've got 25 opportunities, you know, to make that back grow. And are you going to waste one this week? You know, basically is what it comes down to, right?
Yeah, and workout intensity. I mean, the thing is that there's like, you know, training for like two hours compared to taking a body part and annihilating it in 45 minutes. Excuse my analogy, but Benjamin Franklin wrote a letter to John Hancock one time. He said, John, if I had more time, I would have written you a shorter letter.
Huh.
You know, like, meaning like, you know, when you're in school, you know, the 10-page book report where you can just bullshit along and footnote and everything is easier than the 3-page essay, right, where you have to cram everything in. So, again, like, stupid corny analogies. But, you know, if you're doing barbell rows of 315 and you're getting it for 10 reps, 9 reps, then the next time put a 10 and a 5 on and get the same 8 or 9 reps.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just giving an example for weight. It's going to require more intensity. You have to muster up more intensity to do that, to either – A, increase the weight you're using and get the same amount of reps, or use the same weight and get more reps. Either way, you know, more than one way to skin a cat. Either way, it's gonna take you to muster up more training intensity.
Absolutely.
And your muscles, again, are very adaptive. If you don't keep making changes in either overload or stimulation, you won't make changes. It doesn't matter how much shit you're using. I don't care how much fucking shit you're taking.
Yeah, after you get to a certain point, right? You know, I mean, maybe the guys who haven't trained much and they're just in the gym, you know, they're getting the newbie gains, they may be able to get away with that. But I think even for them, the quicker they learn this lesson, the quicker they'll be able to start making real progress.
The most impressive physiques out there were created through progressive overloads with compound exercises. And it's just the way it is. I mean, you talk to the top, if you look at everybody, the top people, I mean, that's what it's from.
Yeah, there's no question. And we hear that a lot here. You know, we've got Muscle Minds with Jordan and Dr. Scott. They preach that constantly. And I think a lot of people are starting to pick up on it.
I'm in full agreement. And, you know, we've been around for a long time. We've seen it. I mean, Jordan, Scott, these guys have seen it. Dr. Scott, brilliant. You know, it's just true. I mean, it just comes down to hard work. Again, people are really just focused on, you know, again, the whole, you know, how's my video look when I'm, you know, it's just, you know, excuse my being like, you know, again, like, you know, from the old, but You know, again, we've talked about this before, the humble pie that's served at national shows.
Oh yeah.
Which is great because we've seen it. We've all seen it. For example, you know, you see the guy who like he takes second out of three people somewhere in like some buttfuck show in the middle of the country. You know, they're hashtagging, you know, gunning for that pro card and this, that, and their buddies are saying, hey man, you look like a, you know, you look like a pro, you can get that shit.
Right.
They go to Nationals, USA. And you see them like before the weigh-ins, you know, like out in the lobby area, like, yeah, they're potato bumping their boys, hugging their girls, and it's great. They go inside and they come out, you know, half an hour later and they have that look like they've seen, you know, the deer in the headlight look, like, what the fuck did I just get myself into? Because they're seeing people like stripped down with like striated glutes. And I've been back there, you know, and like, it's funny because you see like, oh my God, what the fuck? Look at these guys, you know, and they come out and they're just defeated because they're seeing what they're going up against, you know? And, you know, it's funny because I remember one time, like I'm back there and the light heavyweights are lining up. It was like the middleweights are lining up and there's a guy that's a heavyweight.
Yeah.
He's like, wow. He goes, that guy's my class. I'm like, no, man, no, that's a middleweight. It's just unreal, you know? So there's, yeah, man, I know these readers have seen it with some friends and stuff. There's a big, it's very humbling during that first national show if you're not even remotely ready.
Even now, and this isn't to take anything away from the national shows because those guys are far and above my level of physique. Yeah. But when you were competing, Dave, I feel like it was maybe even more intense. I've seen some pictures of you standing next to some greats, like guys that went on to have like really, really competitive pro histories. And this is all just in like one lineup at a national show.
Oh, you saw that was the 94 Nationals. I mean, like there's me and Tony Freeman. Those guys are in the second call out. I mean, look at that fucking call out.
That was the second call out. Yeah. Who were you standing with? Name out some names for us.
Okay, so let me see. There's Joe DeAngelis was in there. Who else is right next to me there? I'm blanking right now. Okay, so that the one who, you know, Paul DeMeo won that show.
Okay.
And we had Don Long was in second. Craig Titus got third. And, man, it was just, it was like all the names in that show. And, I mean, I was next to Tony, and it's just crazy. That's when Tony had hair. And it's funny because actually Tony actually really should have won that show, to be honest with you.
Really?
But they kept him away. Yeah, they kept him away. The first call out was just those three guys.
Okay. Why do you think that was?
I don't know. I think that they were really, you know, into Paul DeMeo at that point.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong, Paul looked crazy.
Yeah.
Man, that was in Miami, and I'll never forget because the next day, my friend and I went out, my girlfriend. And we saw Paul DeMeo, and he had a car accident. He had cracked up his rental car, and he was a little shit-faced. Yeah, it was kind of sad, and he was just like, oh, I don't give a fuck, man. I just got my pro card.
Yeah.
I mean, rest in peace, Paul. I mean, he's phenomenal physique. But Jimmy Mentis was in that call-out with me. I mean, these were an incredible bunch of guys, you know? And, yeah, back then it was – but I think now you see there's in a way – because that back then everyone was really good, and now I think you see more of that humble pie sort of when guys go to these shows. Because, you know, like generally speaking for nationals right now, like you'll see you know, immediate regression after the first call out for the most part. It just really it goes down.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know, you see some of the biggest guys like lining up with the clothes on, getting ready to go into the weigh-ins, and if you're just you know. Bystander, you think, oh wow, man, that guy's gonna do well. That guy's because he looks so huge in their clothes, but it's always that little motherfucker in the corner. The little motherfucker is all like, you know, face is all scale toward out, and he's just like, fingers are like dipping into the food, and they're all like, that's the motherfucker you have to worry about because guaranteed that's the person that's gonna clobber everybody. It's just, you know, because it's conditioning, you know?
Yeah. going to the high pro end here. Tell me what's going on with Stan McQuay now. He's been, you know, he's been doing this for a long time. He's got such a cool physique. I saw him in Detroit when he competed in the 212, and he's moving to Classic now, isn't he? That's kind of been the goal.
Well, yeah, we've been in Classic now. So there is a he qualified for the first Classic Olympia, you know, last year.
Yeah,
we were in Utah. He won that.
Which he looked amazing, year, man. It was a perfect fit, really. I feel like this is a great direction for him to be moving toward.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. And as a matter of fact, that the class has changed so much. I mean, it's evolved.
Yeah.
The classic physique class has evolved so fast this year. I mean,
Tell me about that. What are you
look
seeing
at all
in
these
that
guys.
evolution?
Just incredible. It's not even so much that, okay, well, these are guys that are not big enough to do 212, whatever, so they're or open bodybuilding, so they're just going to do classic. No, it's guys that are like, it's almost like there's a genetic pool that's really like evolving, like before our eyes, quicker than anything I've ever seen. The division, like the 212 division, took a little bit while to establish.
Yeah.
But man, this is fucking, these guys are like really incredible. I mean, it's evolved. Look at Danny Hester. I mean, he won last year. He went to fifth.
Yeah.
These guys, I mean, it's just the class, it's just evolving. I mean, there's an incredible bunch of guys.
What's different about this the top end guys? What are we seeing in their bodies that you see as the evolution? Is it the
Top 10
waists?
for the classic?
Yeah,
It's, yeah,
yeah.
okay. It's right away. It's the small waist. It's the round muscle bellies. And you know, just extraordinary shape and just and flow. Shape, flow, roundness, proportion. And as far as Stan, so like with last year, we tried to create the same look he had when he had, you know, won Utah and went to the Olympia with that. And everybody knows the disaster he had at the Olympia with the paint that was put on his back as a cover-up. And that was a whole disaster. But since that Olympia, it's really like we tried for the last year's shows. I mean, you know, of course, he was in the first call-out in both the shows he did this year.
Yeah.
But it's almost like they went more for like the rounder, you know, thicker look. So we're actually, you know, we try to recreate the look from, you know, the year prior where he was just peeled, you know, just shredded to the bone. And now we see the divisions going. So the answer to the question is this year we're going for, it's almost like we want to create more of like a miniature 212 look that he had.
Okay,
Um,
interesting.
so he has more, we need, I'd like him to have more volume now, more, you know, like to round him out more, like how he was for 212.
Okay.
You know, but if, and as a matter of fact, and it's going to be very doable because the very last 212 show that he won, this is in Sacramento. And I remember for that show, we had to really take him down to pull it off. Yeah, so for that Sac show, that was the lightest he ever been. And actually, now with having 5 pounds extra to play with now in the classic position, division, it's not even that much lighter than that Sac show. And that was a really cool look where he was thicker and rounder. So we're almost going to try to create like that kind of a look. You know, of course his waistline will be more pulled, you know, because it'll be lighter.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just because I like Stan to have more of just volume and roundness. So that's the look that we're going to have this year when we do the shows. And we'll still, like right now, there's a whole different point system. I don't know if you got, if you're aware of it, but they're kind of encouraging guys to go and to do multiple shows now because it just
Oh,
because
yeah.
like if you win a low tier a lower tier show, it doesn't guarantee that you're going to be qualified for the Olympia anymore. Like you
Okay.
could, there's the upper tier shows. There's like Pittsburgh Pro. There's New York Pro. There's the Arnold Series, which will contain Classic Physique now, where placing in the top five gives you a hell of a lot more points than placing top five in a smaller tiered show, or
Yeah.
let alone, you know, just winning a small tiered show. So we're going to be very strategic of how we do it. I'm pretty sure New York Pro will be one of them.
Okay.
There's a string of shows that'll be coupled together. There's the Cal show, which is a week later after New York. I'm going to have him and Dorian do that. Well, I'm going to have Adam do New York Pro as well.
Okay.
But these are high points in these in the top five. So we're going to be strategic how we do it.
Interesting.
But yeah, but with Stan, yeah, we're gonna have a bigger, thicker look. We're gonna go back. He's involved with heavy compound, you know. So we're definitely pushing towards, you know, a rounder, denser look. Again, you know, trying to mimic the 212 look we had, but just, you know, again, smaller. You know, just he'll be lighter still. But
So,
Stan was never really high up in the end of the weight for the 212s.
okay.
So it's not like he's gonna be that much lighter, but I mean, there's 185 looking just, you know, peeled and shredded, you know, but kind of flat looking. And then there's 185 where like, okay, the conditioning's there, but there's more roundness and density and volume. So that's purposely where we're going to be going
So
for this year.
you mentioned, you know, in the same things that you mentioned for the other guys too. It's a lot of heavy compound lifts that you're
Yeah.
using to get there. What What are some of the other tools that you're using to make this happen? Say nutritionally, for instance.
For Stan?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm basically like right now we're going to be shifting foods because I want him to diet on a higher calorie structure. So we're getting the ball rolling early as far as getting him, his conveyor belt moving fast so he can house more calories.
So basically you're saying like get the food up as high as you can early before you even start the diet, really.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, I want him to eat bigger, you know, so, I mean, oh, yeah. So his training is different. The foods will be different. Things that we do with supplements will be different, too.
Okay.
Rather than just going for just, you know, so the supplements, you know, what we do, you know, gear-wise, whatever, will be more geared, no pun intended, towards, you know, creating more volume and, you know. And so that'll translate into how things are overlapped going into the last stage of prep and everything to maintain, you know?
Interesting. And
yeah. So interesting. Very different for Sam this year. Very different.
Man, this is so cool. Like I mentioned at the beginning, you know, these are really high end guys that you're working with, and still, nonetheless, I mean, I think a lot of the same ideas can apply to the rest of us. I'll say us average guys out here to an extent, we might not get the exact same, you know, results. But hey, who knows, especially for the young guys who haven't tapped into their potential yet, they may. So you're only one way to find out. And I feel like,
hopefully all this could be, you know, helpful. And again, yeah, you're right, but the same principles apply. I mean, it's really to the young guys out there starting off. I mean, it's really, you've got to bust your ass in the gym. You've got to use heavier weights. If you're using, you know, just be progressive with the weights you're using. Make yourself get more reps from the same weight, or make yourself use a heavier weight and get the same reps. It takes intensity. You might have to scream. It's maybe not very pretty, but you got to get it done. And if you want to, like people, I mean, they talk about how they want to become a pro. I mean, want to be a pro. They want to do this and that. I mean, you have to have the horse in front of the cart.
Yeah.
Again, usually the questions are, hey, what should I eat? You know, it's like, fuck, man. Ask about foods. Ask about training. The drugs are easy.
Yeah.
Drugs are easy. I've said this on every show. This goes back to, I'll never forget this. This is years ago when I was talking to Dorian. This is when he just finished his last Olympia, and he was pushing, you know, his product line, and he was in Venice.
Okay.
There's the Urban Nutrition Store, which is very famous.
Oh, yeah.
Store up the street. I'm sure you went in there, Scott.
I did, actually.
There's a lot of demos there, product demos. I remember talking to Dorian. And when we talked about, you know, what he was using, you know, and it's like, you know, you hear about these guys like using, you know, like a gram a week of Tren or 1500 milligrams a week of Tren, you know, just so anyway, we're talking about what he's using. And he's like, you know, back then, you know, Tren was in the form of Tren Hex, Parabolin.
Right.
And there would be these 76 milligram ampules.
The original.
And I was like, you know, how much? He's like, man, I only opened up in his, you know, the Birmingham accent.
Yeah.
You know, three bloody vials of that a week. So let's put things in perspective, guys. So 3 times 76 milligrams. Yeah. Fuck. It's nothing, right?
No. And if he's using, then what do I need to use?
Yeah,
you know, 190, 200 pounds.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, and again, there's just the abuse. I mean, you know, so it's just what I'm saying about having the cart in front of the horse. It's just people emphasizing that's the gear. People just how much this and that, what kind of combinations. I mean, it's people are messing themselves up, and people are not coming in shape because of it. We talked about this.
Yeah. So, you know, just to kind of stay on track here a little bit, I wanted to ask you about a couple more of your guys. You have a couple of guys that are still, they haven't turned pro yet. They're at the high national level. Can you tell me a little bit about them? We were talking about them just before we had gotten started. I'd like to know a little bit more about those guys. And kind of learn who they are so I can start following them.
Yeah, so really good heavyweight to look out for next year at the USA, Steve Kruckenberg.
Okay.
I posted him a little while ago, about 2 weeks ago, on Instagram. I think he's got a really he's gonna be incredible heavyweight. We started working a couple months ago, and man, I just think shape wise, he's going to be crazy. He's one of these guys that he needs the cheekbones sticking out of the face kind of conditioning.
Okay.
To have, you know what I mean? We're really going to push for that. Just incredible shape and flow. Not the hugest of heavyweights, but he's going to look, as far as on the scale, but he's going to be one of these guys that just look a lot heavier.
Okay. And
he actually is.
What's he weighing now in the off season?
He's not very heavy. He's right now, I think the other day he said he's like 237.
Okay.
I don't imagine him to be on stage any more than, let's say, 218, 219.
So he's not really too far. He's not too far out now. I mean, as far as weight wise, is he? He stays pretty.
No. I'm really into just being like, I look at it like it's almost like the lighter you are in the off season, the heavier and bigger you can be when it comes down to it. Because again, if you, there's a point where like the extra 10, 15, 20 pounds, like it's going to be shit that has to come off. It's going to be, if you're getting that extra 20 pounds, you're sacrificing sensitivity. There's no doubt.
Okay.
You know, you are. When there's like that storage, that inflammation, that heavy breathing, it's just, to me, that's counterproductive. I mean, everyone's been there. We've all been there. Everyone's had an off season like that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just not, I mean, every year that goes by, to me, there should be less of that inflammatory off season and more of that staying lean, transitioning into prep. And again, holding on to more. There's less, you know, shouldn't have to be doing 3 hours of, you know, cardio and losing 5 pounds of muscle to lose 10 pounds of fat. Shouldn't be like that.
Yeah. And once you get to that point, you're kind of really sacrificing the point of having gained all the weight to begin with, aren't you? I mean, it takes more work to get it off.
If you're fucking chasing shit of the last week, it just doesn't look right. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. And you know, it's funny. You see these memes. I crack up when I see these things where you see like a big, like they have like the big fat Chinese kid and the meme is like, it's just water, bruh. I'll dry out.
Right.
You know, so it's just a circle. Like, you know, like I don't want to use but you can't dry off fat, all that. So I just think, you know, people are too concerned about the scale.
Yeah.
Really, they are, you know, and, just be a lean, mean fighting machine in the off season. So and you'll wind up being big. You'll be bigger on stage.
You mentioned one other guy too. I wanted to see there.
Yeah, I was just about to bring up Jonas Giatris.
Jonas Giatris, okay.
Monster. I'll send you some pictures of him, Scott, afterwards. So Jonas, a couple years ago, it's funny because Dorian Haywood won. This is 2014. He had won juniors, and Sergio. We were just talking about him earlier. Sergio had won. Dorian won the overall, but Sergio won supers. So Jonas was in that class. I believe he got third. And with just better, he was just, I'll send you pictures. He's just nuts. He looks nuts. You know, see, with better posing, whatever, would have been a little bit different. But so he's, he took the last couple years off. He, you know, had, you know, some personal stuff and really focused on work. And now he's grounded and he's a monster right now. So he'll be doing a qualifying show. I can't wait to send you pictures, Scott. You'll see he's really, really
I'm looking
impressive.
At his previous show. I'm looking at him on Instagram right now. This guy's got a thick physique. Those quads are ridiculous.
Yeah, he gets, yeah, and he just gets, I mean, so he's going to do really well. He's right now in major offseason mode. Huge.
Well, what are and, we talking wise, weight wise there?
He's 5'10 and a half, and he's...
Oh, big dude all around.
He's 3'10 right now,
Kidding me.
But he is, like, he's not, like, he's lean.
Okay.
You know what I mean? He's lean. So I'm really excited for those guys. This is going to be a good year coming up with all these guys. And right now, I mean, I'm just thrilled because of the work ethic. Everybody we talked about today... they're progressing because of their work ethic.
Dude, that's Stan, huge, man.
Stan, we're shifting gears with Stan. It's because of his work ethic that we can push him to create a different look. So, you know, for you guys out there, it's really there's a direct correlation between the amount of work you put in and the results that you'll see. You know, you have to be willing. I know I skip around and ramble around a lot, but you've got to be willing to suffer during these preps too.
I don't think you've skipped around that much. We've kept on pretty good track here, actually.
Oh, because I mean, you know, I only have about, last time I checked, I think I only have about 3 or 4 brain cells left. And a lot of times they fight against each other. So I do know I like to ramble and skip around a little EDD. But yeah, I mean, guys, people, girls, guys, you've got to be really willing to suffer during prep.
Yeah.
There's conditioning and there's conditioning. People think that they're conditioned, and you know, glute feathering is not glute striations.
Hey, I'll tell you, man, I got on stage the first time this year as just a warm up, and I thought to myself, well, I'm in, you know, quote unquote, good enough shape. And it took stepping on stage and really trying to dry out to see, you know what, maybe I wasn't, you know, and then I pushed it. And yeah, absolutely. I could totally relate to that. There's conditioning and then there's like real conditioning.
And yeah, basically, like, okay, for the most part, if you go to the USA or Nationals, you could see a progression or a regression, I should say, as the call-outs go along. For the most part, everybody in the first call-out will have, you know, extreme conditioning, you know, like not just like some feathering in the glutes, but like carved out glutes.
Yeah.
Top three. That's how it should be, because it should be conditioning first. And that's how they are with judging for the most part. And then the second call out, generally you'll see like, you know, less conditioning. Where you'll see there might be some striated glutes, but they're not like the carved. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, if you have, you could have carved out striated glutes and have like no back and no arms, and you know, you're not going to do shit. But I'm just, for the most part, you know, if you have size, okay. And then the second call out, you'll see like, you know, a little less conditioning where the glutes will be in, but not like carved out. Yeah. And then let's say the third call out, you'll see a couple of good, you know, you'll see glute feathering.
Yeah.
And then in the fourth call out, you'll see like nothing, no shitty conditioning. You know, it's brutal out there. Like I said, you know, these call outs, you know, so. Just because your buddy says, "Wow, you look crazy. You got some, you know, veins on your arms and shoulders," it does not mean that you're ripped.
Yeah, don't rely on your friends, right?
Yeah, and there's ripped, and then there's just peeled, and then there's just extreme conditioning. You know, and if you want to do anything, for the most part, of USA Nationals, North Americans, what, fucking 1,100 people in the show?
Yeah.
The judges will turn to conditioning, honestly, to make it easier for them.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, okay, here's seven guys. Sometimes they'll do a call out, six, seven guys, you see it. Okay, these are the most conditioned guys. Now let's wade through. Okay, this guy's got better shape. This guy, you know, guy's presentation, you know. So you can't go wrong with conditioning. And I just want to put this out there as well. Feedback from the judges is critical. But the kind of feedback, but what you do not want to get feedback-wise from the judges is you're not hard enough. You're not dry enough. You're not lean enough. Fuck that. That's like... You want to hear, okay, you know, you need more back, you need more legs, you need, you know, then you have a point of reference. So if you want to keep getting better at these shows and place better and do better, come in conditioned, come in shredded, peeled. This way you have a point of reference, you know, this has got to come up, this has got to come up. Then you can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Not the other way around.
Yeah.
And also make sure everything's evolved. I mean, I remember someone flew in one time to train with Charles, you know, Glass. And, you know, Charles wanted me to do his diet and stuff. And this kid, he came over, like he made, you know, he flew into town, got the hotel and everything. And he looked like a really big upper body, jacked, you know, huge arms, chest, and everything like that. He's like, yeah, man, my goal, I want to be a pro next year. I want to be a pro next year. I'm like, okay, cool, you know?
Yeah.
So Charles, like, hey, let's go up to the weight room. I mean, to the posing room.
Okay.
So he strips down and the legs are just like, not even remotely close to the upper body.
No.
And he's like posing. He's like, what are these guns? Are these pro guns? Like,
well,
and it was hard because we had to be like, I remember Charles looked at me and he's like, okay, tell him, you know? And I'm like, look,
he made you tell him. Level,
we've him and I've gone back and forth between like, you know, laying out the reality, but we told him like, look, honestly, like it's, you need balance. Your legs have to at least match your upper body. Okay. You know what I mean? And, so it's a lot of, you know, you need everything. Yeah. So you need, I guess the reason why I brought that up is, you know, be realistic when you look at yourself. You know, am I ready to do a national level show? Am I ready to even get on stage, let alone, you know, am I ready to, after I've just qualified at a no-name contest, am I ready to hashtag gunning for that pro card?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know when we talk this way, it's very harsh and very frank, but I think that people need to hear that. This is
absolutely
not a pretty sport.
And hey, listen, you know, if people want to progress, they're going to want to hear that too. You know, we don't need our friends and the guys in the gym to just blow our egos up and tell us, you know, how great we are. I feel like I want the opposite. You know, I want to know the truth. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, guys, what are we doing here? We do this because we love it. And what is our goal? It's to progress and be better and improve.
Yes.
I want to know where I can focus on. What can I do to improve? What can I do to really make myself the best this year?
Yeah. And exactly. And it's about, it's so much of this is being honest with yourself. Because if you can look back and observe, like, hey, you know what? Like, wow, like my legs are nowhere. Like, really look. Like, look at the top guys. Look, you know, if you're thinking about doing a national show, look at the top five guys or look at the new pros. Are you ready? Because you don't want to go there honestly and just get smoked.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be competitive, at least moved around a little bit in these call outs. You know, like, you want to be in there. Okay. And then it gives you incentive to progress. I mean, I've seen people, like, they go to the nationals, they get their asses handed to them. They're like, they want to give up. Well, of course. Mm. You know, why would you want to put yourself through that? And just be realistic. And again, like, you know, going back to conditioning, skipping around, but, you know, it's like, I think a big thing that keeps people from not being conditioned, again, when I talk, they're worried about the weight.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you know, very often, you know, other coaches hear this well. It's funny because, like, you know, Matt and I, like Porter, whatever, we'll talk. We share war stories. We see each other at the shows. You know, it's like someone will send a photo in or say, oh, man, I'm losing size. And I'm getting small. I'm getting small. We're like, okay, well, send some pictures.
Yeah.
And there's the battery. I won't even – sometimes the only picture I will look at will be the glute ham area.
Okay.
And if there's still, like, fat there, you know, you're not losing fucking muscle. You know, you're losing what needs to come off.
Yeah.
You know, and again, people, you got to really.
How hard do you think it is to actually lose muscle?
Honestly, think of it this way. It's really almost impossible because, I mean, unless, again, like, there's, like, you know, such a caloric deficit. And, you know, there's way too much core teeth, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of loss of muscle volume that could be there if there wasn't, don't get me wrong. There's no doubt. Okay. And when I say that, it's because, you know, the person that says, oh, wow, I lost too much muscle for the show, but, you know, like, look, I get so skinny, flat, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, like 3 days later, they're 40 pounds heavier and there's all that muscle didn't come back. You know, it was there.
Yeah, they didn't just grow that.
Right, the volume, like, so there's definitely loss. Don't get me wrong. You could lose too much volume and density in the muscle from over-dieting. You know, don't get me wrong. But as far as losing the tissue, no, because look at it this way. Let's say you took someone who was, like, a vegetarian, and, like, you know, like, with all they eat is just carbs and vegetables, and they're kind of, like, fluffy. You know, they don't have any muscle on them. And as the years go on, like, they're just losing more muscle tone. They become more skinny fat.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's say if you didn't change anything in their diet, but you just added weight training. Just the weight training, just the weight resistance would prevent more muscle loss.
Mm.
They're not going to gain any muscle because they're not eating, you know, just carbs, you know.
Right.
But they're certainly not going to, like, you know what I mean? Like, at least they'll keep their composition.
Yeah, they can arrest now, that atrophy, sure.
Right, now let's say you put in, like, you know, proteins and, you know, fats and stuff like that, you know, proteins, animal proteins. Then they actually would actually maybe even gain some muscle, right?
Yeah.
You know? Then let's say if you put steroids in there. Well, then, you know, so then you're, like, not only will you be maintaining or even growing a little bit, but you'll actually be, like, you know, gaining, like, noticeable muscle.
Sure.
You know?
And then once you hit that deficit, you're really still, I totally agree, man. I don't feel like, at least in your average bodybuilding diet, that we're not really losing genuine muscle. And maybe, you know, I don't want to speak, you know, I don't want to be too general because I'm sure there are situations where it can happen, but I think that, what we're talking about, you know, in general, it's not going to happen. But I thought that was a good point to make for sure.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, honestly, to actually, like, really catabolized muscle.
Yeah.
You'd have to, like, you'd be like, cause first of all, you know, you have in your liver contains a bunch of amino acids and hepatic glycogen. So even if you didn't eat for 2 days, like, your body will use before it starts to catabolize itself. It's going to use your liver glycogen. It's going to use all those aminos in there.
Hmm.
you would have to, like, not eat for, like, 2 days where you're actually, like, really then catabolizing muscle for energy. Hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, really, like, so it's really hard to lose muscle. And just like I said, basic rule of thumb, the harder you get, the more ripped you get, the bigger you're going to look on stage.
Yeah. So yeah. No question.
I mean, it's just, it really is. It's that simple. And, like, people, the competitors out there that are pros, they are not nearly as heavy as you think on stage. As a matter of fact, I know all of them, and you'd be shocked at how much less they weigh than you would think.
So focus less on the scale, more on the pictures and the mirror.
Look at how, yeah, yes.
And most importantly,
judges, I mean, I know this sounds such a cliche that, like, you know, the judges don't have a, I mean, they don't right. care
yeah.
how much you weigh up.
And I was going to add too, and most importantly, listen to your coach. Cause if I'm working with Dave Kalik and he tells me, no, you need to continue dieting, you know, I believe in my coach. I'm going to listen to what he's saying and I'm going to continue to follow that. So really, I think if you have a good coach, you shouldn't even be asking these questions, you know?
I mean, like people like, you know, I mean, you know, I want people to understand why we're doing something too.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want it to just be like, here, do this. You know, again, it's good to go over like, you know, why we're doing this and what the plan is and everything. And, you know, again, being realistic. And people out there, again, just really be conscious of the dosages of stuff you're using.
That's a whole other conversation. And we've talked about that before
yeah.
when I had you on last time, and I know that you and Taylor had talked about that. So before we go down yeah. that road, I think that we should yeah. Wrap up here because we're about out of time. But man, I would love to have you back to talk about.
We'll take that up. We'll do it on another show. We'll go over all that on another show and break down exactly. I'm looking forward to doing that one.
We talked about that, and another one we were talking about was insulin and how, you know, mm-hmm. how we can use that. So I think mm-hmm. there's so many great topics to talk about, man. And I, you know, you're one of my favorite guys as far as all the great coaches out there. I love the way that you look at things, Dave. You are, to me, you know, there's the guys that are just really, really heavily science-based and everything's off of studies. You are somebody who's been doing this a long time. You know what works. You have an intuitive gut sense. And you are, to me, more like an artist than a scientist. It's a match between the two. But I see you relying on that gut and you knowing what is going to work through experience and through, you know, your gut feelings. It's cool to me. That's what bodybuilding should be, in my opinion.
No. Thanks. I mean, I'm, don't get me wrong. I mean, I like to nerd out. I mean, I like all the studies, and of course, you know, you've heard me, you know, geek out and nerd out, and that's the whole thing. But yeah, to me, there has to be a meeting of Eastern and Western medicine, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a balance, right?
Oh, don't get me wrong, but I'm a geek when it comes to that, you know.
Oh, I know you are.
See me, I'll be on the toilet reading the New England Journal of Medicine, you know, things fascinating. I'm very interested in stuff that's completely non-bot. But yeah, like, it's just, I'm very passionate about it, and it's being adaptative to the person, and that's yes. really what it comes down to, I think.
Yeah, and having that eye, because I think that, you know, the things that you're seeing, that's something that, I mean, obviously you've trained that over a number of years, but it's also something I think that's just kind of, to an extent, you've either got it or you don't. And you know, you're definitely Thanks. One of the guys who's got it. I want to give a big shout out to your friend Kurt out there. He's a really cool dude. And I was really glad to get a chance to pick his brain. You know, he gave me some suggestions to get ART done on that bicep tendon of mine. And that's something.
Yeah, he's really good with all that stuff, Kirk.
Yeah,
really good with that stuff.
I'm going to follow up on that. He's given me some good things to think about, and I want to get my shoulder in order so that I can still, you know, press as much as possible with chest. So I'm going to follow up with that. What do you have going on this week? Anything exciting? I want to ask you one other question. Do you guys have chickens? Because I know you're sitting outside enjoying this great California day, and I swear I heard chickens in the background during this.
You did.
No kidding. You got your own chickens.
In fact, you did. It's funny because, like, it's we have a really big backyard. There's a couple fruit trees back here. It's funny because I just picked oranges off the tree
and ate them.
It's kind of surreal. Yeah, it's kind of cool. We moved into this house like 5 months ago, but next to us, it's funny because our neighbors, they have this big compound, and they have chickens. There is about 12 of them outside. It's funny. And they're like, hawk, hawk, and we hear them. And there's like some of the cats, these outdoor cats, like roll over. I saw one of these cats like try to grab one of the chickens the other day, and like, so it's funny. I come outside. It's like a little farm here. We got animals everywhere. We got chickens. Man. We got cats. There's dogs. So
I feel like that kind of atmosphere is just so, it's so soothing, like, for my psyche. I feel my best in places like that.
Yeah, actually, it was fun doing this interview, just sitting in the backyard.
Hell yeah.
The chickens in the background.
but I interrupted they're though. Are you going to the Ferrigno? It's coming up here?
Yeah, actually, we're going to go out there. I have a woman's physique, and She's going to be doing it.
Give her a shout out. What's her name?
Yeah, so Angel Starr. She's going to be doing women's physique.
Nice.
And I have a Jason Priest, who's a pretty crazy classic physique. He'll be doing the amateur show.
Okay.
On Sunday. And also going out there to see his lineup. There's 28 open guys.
That's going to be crazy.
Yeah, it's a pretty deep lineup. By far the deepest that the Sferigna show has seen.
Who are some of the front runners for this one?
That was Cedric.
Oh, yeah.
He's in there.
Is Brandon Curry in the show?
Brandon's doing it. Fuad is doing it. Brad nice. Rowe's doing it. It's a deep show.
Brad trains out there at Gold's, doesn't he?
Yes. Yes.
His quads, seeing him in person out there, are ridiculous.
Yeah, his quads are crazy. He looks really good. He's to me, he's put on a lot of good size this year. I think he looks really good.
Nice. Yeah, I agree, man. Well, that's going to be a cool show coming up here, and I wish you safe travels. I've got a challenge for you too. I challenge you to eat at least a decent breakfast the day of the show.
I think for this one, I think I'll be okay.
All right.
I think for this one, yeah. Yeah, I think, thank you for the challenge. I'll take it. And I think I'll be okay for this particular one. Yeah,
all right.
I think for this one, I'll be okay.
Awesome.
Can't say that for the ones in the future that are coming up, but I can say that for this one, I'll be okay.
Anybody you want to shout out or anything that you want to plug?
Yeah, just Physique Inc. Stan McQuay and I, we have some overlapping clients, so we work together. Like, let's say I'll, do the diet and the prep, and he'll help me out with, posing and stuff like that. So if you ever want to come to the Physique Inc. page,
nice.
Just shout out to, look for all the competitors and I talked about today. I'm excited for how these guys are going to do next year. Shout out to some good supplements out there. If you guys, the AD product line, which is phenomenal. Joe Binley's line of products is honestly leaps and bounds ahead of any other products that are out there. So I encourage you guys to look at the glucose disposal units. I mean, it's really incredible product line.
I'm actually using his Matador right now. Now that you mentioned it, great product for when I am eating pancakes, during this post-contest period.
There you go.
Period.
Phenomenal stuff. There's a wellness line, he's really impressive products. So I encourage everybody to go check out those products.
Right on. Well, Dave, this has been great, man. I really appreciate you coming on. This has been a lot of fun. It was great to see you a couple of weeks ago. And
likewise,
I wish
Scott.
All your guys and gals a lot of luck this season, man. You've had some awesome successes this past year, and I'm confident you're going to follow that up with some awesome successes in 18.
Thanks, Scott. I really appreciate it. And again, thanks for having me back on again. It was a blast, and I'm sure we'll do it soon and touch on those topics that we were just talking about before.
All right, guys, for Advices Radio, I'm Scott McNally with Dave Callett.
See you guys.
Advices Radio Network.